Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Tata Chemicals Limited Q3 and nine months FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Gavin Desa from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Tata Chemicals Q3 and nine months FY24 earnings conference call. We have with us today Mr. R. Mukundan, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Zarir Langrana, Executive Director, and Mr. Nandakumar Tirumalai, the Chief Financial Officer. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's discussions may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. I now invite Mr. Mukundan to begin proceedings of the call.
Thanks, Gavin. Good evening and welcome, everyone, to our Q3 nine months FY24 earnings call. I'm joined by my colleagues Zarir and Nandu for today's call. I'll start with the discussion with key operation highlights across business geographies, following which Nandu will walk you through the financial performance of the quarter. Firstly, an update on the overall soda ash industry. The market conditions remain challenging across all key regions and segments, especially flat glass, which has been impacted in Europe. LATAM also is experiencing a bit of slowdown, especially in the lithium sector, which is more recent. Consequently, there's been a surge in Turkish exports to Asian markets, which have pivoted from Europe to Asian markets, especially in India, China, and Southeast Asia. China, while it grew overall, their flat glass was impacted in the construction real estate, and the demand grew for solar glass. Solar glass also had a strong demand in Southeast Asia. Other sectors were flat. India demand was a marginal growth at 1%. The softness was mainly felt in export-facing sectors in textiles, dyestuff, and ceramics. South African demand, there was a bit of a decline in mining sector. Overall, the customer sentiment is bearish with approximately 12 to 18-month recovery period in our view, as we explained in the last call. The company's performance is lower as compared to previous year due to pricing pressure in all regions and low volume. Especially in U.S., volumes were lower due to plant shutdown and rail car, which led to lower contribution, lower absorption of fixed costs, and increase in fixed costs during the quarter. The shortfall is about 18,000 tons. Input costs continue to be stable. We prepaid a debt of $25 million in USA. Our endeavor is to continue to maintain our share through customer engagement and have steady contribution margin with focus on cost and higher value-added products. Our focus will also be to deliver on investments on time, conserve cash, and continue to deleverage. We have seen good performance in Rallis amidst challenging external environment. Domestic business has registered growth. International business there again is facing challenges, but we do believe it should revive in few coming quarters. Management there has undertaken steps in recent years to improve profitability of business. We expect that to translate in coming years. We anticipate in the short term, current demand-supply situation is likely to persist, but should stabilize and improve over long term, driven by sectors which we continue to engage with, which is sustainability sectors, which is solar and lithium, other related sectors. As we strategically expand the core business capabilities through cost-effective debottlenecking, we are equally committed to rigorous cost management, debt reduction, and bolstering of cash flows. Our aim is to sustain market share through customer engagement and maintain stable margins with keen eye on controlling costs. Going forward, we do expect next few months to be challenging due to subdued pricing of soda ash. This is more so for the U.S. export markets, while domestic seems to be stable. That concludes my opening remarks. I now hand over the floor to Nandu, who will walk you through the financial performance.
Thanks, Mukundan, and good evening, everyone. Let me walk you through the performance, after which we'll go to the Q1 session. Starting with the headline numbers for the quarter, our revenue was there for the quarter was at 3730 crores against 4148 crores last year, Q3, down by 10%. Decrease in revenue was driven mainly on the lower soda ash volumes and pricing pressure in all regions. EBITDA for the quarter was at 542 crores as against 922 crores in the last year's Q3, lower by 41%. PAT for the quarter was at 194 crores, lower by 51% compared to last year's Q3. Coming to India, revenues for the quarter were 1,003 crores. Soda ash volumes were 7% down compared last year's, sorry, soda ash was actually up compared last year's Q3. The pricing pressure has been there, because of which we had lower realizations on account of import on stock and drop in pricing. Salt and bicarb saw steady volume during the quarter. Moving to U.S., export pricing saw a sharp decrease versus previous year. However, both domestic price and market share have been stable, while absolute volumes have fallen. EBITDA margins was at 12% for the current quarter. In U.K. business, revenue was impacted as compared to last year's Q3 because of lower volume of soda ash, which led to the revenue being lower by 20% in the current quarter. EBITDA was at 10% for the current quarter. As far as Kenya is concerned, both volumes and realizations are softening, which in turn impacted margins and profits for the quarter. As far as HTS and Nutra is concerned, both the business had a stable performance in this quarter. In Rallis, revenues were at 598 crores, a 5% drop compared to last year's Q3. EBITDA was 61 crores in the quarter, higher 14% compared to last year's Q3, and PAT was 24 crores. Our cash at our consolidated level is at 1,535 crores in December ending. CapEx was 402 crores. Net debt was at 4,377 crores. With that, I close my comments and hand it over back to Gavin to open up for the Q&A.
Thank you very much. Should I go ahead?
Yes, please.
We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question and to restrict to two questions at a time. You may join back the queue again for further questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have our first question from the line of Saurabh Jain from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity. I have two questions. Number one, can you throw some light into what kind of contracts you must have entered starting of this year in both U.S. and Europe?
So, I think the bigger issue is in the U.S. Let me just highlight broadly. I think on the domestic front, I think contractually we are more or less stable, both in volume and pricing. On exports, what we do see, because these are reset sometimes quarterly, sometimes semi-annually, there's been a sharp erosion next year. We expect a blend of, because some of the material also is going to China now, so, and we expect a blended erosion of approximately $100 on the export contribution and realization.
So, domestic realizations, are they still closer to what realization we have delivered in the previous quarter?
Yeah, they will continue to be almost same. Not a big shift in them. The contribution will remain almost same, whereas exports is where there's an erosion of contribution by approximately, I would say, nearly $100. It's slightly less than $100, but I would say a figure of $100 would be an approximation.
Okay, understood. So still, it is still a, you know, a kind of a fixed pricing contract for the domestic business for this, for the 2024 in U.S.
For three, basically for the full year, which means for the last quarter of this year and three quarters of the next year.
Correct. And, what is the situation in Europe? How the contract structured over there for this year?
Europe is a bit of a different story. Let me just say this: I think there broadly we are now, while some customers are on the energy price adjustment and a longer-term duration, many customers have moved to what we call as a fixed pricing contract, where the risk is with us, and hence we have been very cautious about it. Our bigger issue there is in terms of pounds, if you say, what is the erosion in pricing, it's close about 100 pounds.
Versus 2023?
Yeah, compared to previous year, same period.
Average of previous year, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, what kind of margins do you think are, you know, more likely to come through in U.S. and Europe for FY 2025? Any sort of guidance on that will be helpful.
Yeah, so I would say that in terms of broadly, the domestic should be stable in US. As I mentioned, the export margin, I was giving the contribution number only.
Yes.
It was down approximately about $100. It may improve if the contracts, if the pricing environment around the world improves. But these are the current, this is the current situation. And in UK, it's about, I would say, £100 compression right across.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Abhijit Akella from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Thanks for taking my question. One on the US business, would it be possible to quantify maybe the profit lost during this quarter because of the 80,000 tons approximately of volumes that we lost? And also just to check, US domestic volumes seem to have fallen a lot more than the export volumes this quarter. Any specific reasons for that?
Yeah, in terms of you're seeing the domestic as compared to the previous year, more or less, if you look at a trailing quarter, it has almost been flat. So we haven't seen any major shift there. There is an overall reduction in the market volumes, which is reflected in our volume. In terms of pricing, it is stable. Your first question was on the 80,000 ton. Approximately, if you broadly take about 130 or 150 odd dollar of contribution, we are seeing an erosion of close to about $10 million on that account.
Got it. That's helpful. Thank you. Also one question on how much of China's demand for soda ash comes out of the lithium and solar segments, if it may be possible to shed some light on that, and also whether you would have some projections for what it might be for India in coming years. Thanks.
So can we come back to that a little later? We'll just get the data and we'll flash it to you during this call itself. Huh?
Okay, sure. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Vivek Rajamani from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you so much for the presentation. Sir, apologies if this was asked, but just in India, it appears that the implied pricing and margins appear to have improved sequentially. Could you just talk about what has been different this quarter? Because all the literature seems to point that it's been a tough backdrop for this part of the world. Thank you.
So I think in terms of overall thesis, I think it is absolutely fine. I think we because of our contract structuring, we have benefited other than the rest of the pack what you must be putting in. So that's where it is. If you strictly go by the market position, I think we should be, our own analysis shows compared to, because the domestic industry is also into contracting structures which are different. So through that, we've been able to sort of protect an annualized number of about, if I were to take, have we priced it at import parity versus where our contractual pricing is, there's a benefit of approximately 100 odd crores. That's an internal working, but I don't want you to go by that. But broadly, I think it's all the result of the contracting structures.
Sure, sir. So if I were to just get a clarification, going forward, should we kind of look at it from a sequential perspective or maybe just look at it from an annual perspective that at the end of the full year, you'll probably be more stable irrespective of what happens on a sequential basis depending on imports, exports? Would that be a fair statement?
Yeah, sequentially, I think we should be there. I think that is a fair statement.
Sure, sir. And the second question was, obviously, I think you've spoken about the new contracts on the pricing, and we've obviously seen some erosion or a meaningful erosion over there. I'm just wondering, given that we are in an environment of falling energy and all the other costs, Would you be able to, offset some of this, ASP declines by way of lower costs over the course of the year?
Yeah, on export, I think what I did mention, the erosion for U.S. exports is our understanding of where energy will land and the pricing in the market, that $100 erosion which I spoke about. So it includes that. It's slightly lower than 100, but I'm saying for ease of discussion, we should just round it off to 100 and keep it there.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much and all the very best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of S. Ramesh from Nirmal Bang Equities. Please go ahead.
Good evening and thank you very much. So if you were to get some update on the Inner Mongolia capacity addition, is there any update on that in terms of how much they've added and what is the progress likely on that 5 million ton expansion there?
So I think their situation seems to be more or less static in the sense that the capacities which were supposed to come in have come on stream, and there have been some challenges for them in terms of reaching that capacity to market and quality, as we mentioned. Overall, we think China market remains either balanced or slightly short, which is why a lot of the I also mentioned this includes a blended sale to the Chinese market. U.S. exports are headed to China, but we think it will get balanced over a period of time. I think the real challenge for us has been coming from, again, as I mentioned in the last call, in the Western Europe, where we've lost about 1 million ton of demand, and that 1 million ton needs to find a home somewhere else, especially coming out of Turkey, and this is what is depressing prices. So we need to work our way through that.
Okay. So second thing is, if you look at your average inventory cost of coal, you would have got some benefit from the decline in coal from April. But what is the impact of the current increase in freight because of the, Red Sea related crisis? And do you see your input cost, particularly for coal, going up, say, over the next 3-6 months? And would that squeeze your margins further in India?
No, I think, as I mentioned that to the previous question, the margins sequentially are going to be stable. We have all the numbers. They are not impacting it overall.
Okay. So what about the other markets like U.S. and Europe? Would the freight cause any additional strain compared to what you have mentioned in terms of the erosion and margins?
So the erosion and margin includes part freight, part energy, benefit in energy, and also includes the reduction in prices. Put everything together is what creates the contribution number we just spoke about. So it's all embedded inside there.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Riya Mehta from Equitas Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity. My first question is, in the India business, how much percentage would be in the contractual basis, short or long?
Quarterly contracts in India would be approximately 50% of our volume.
50% of the volume. And these are annual contracts, or what would be the duration?
Quarterly
contract. In India, how are we seeing the demand side scenario? So, like you mentioned, we saw 1% increase in the demand. Going forward in the month of January, how are things getting?
Yeah, so I think the demand challenge is steep in Western Europe. And now, because of the lithium prices in these Latin American markets, but otherwise, Asian market is not a demand problem. It is either growing or it is flat, but it's more a pricing problem here because of the excess supply coming in out of the lost demand in Western Europe.
Right. What would typically be the consumption in Europe, and what has it reduced to, if we can get some numbers? Loss of demand in Europe?
6 million, right? It's about 6 million. I think it's 6.5 or so. It's down to, I think, about 5.5 or so.
6 million ton per annum loss of demand.
Yeah, 6.5 approximately. I mean, and then it's down to about 5.5. So a million ton reduction.
Got it. And what would be the imports which are happening in India on that account, like incremental? I think earlier it was around 60,000 to 70,000 tons were imported from outside. What would be the current level of imports?
The incremental, what would have been a normal run rate versus where we've ended the year, calendar year, I'm speaking, is about 600,000 ton addition.
600,000 tons per annum incremental in India.
Imports, yeah. About 200-250, I think we are close to about 8,350 approximately. The current run.
Sorry, I couldn't hear the last line. Could you repeat?
It used to be between 200,000 to 250,000. I think we ended the year with calendar year with around 800 or 850, somewhere there.
Okay. Got it. That's it from my side. I will join with you for further questions.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Namaskar, sir. Just a data point. Firstly, sir, you mentioned about $10 million hit on the bottom line on account of the lower sales from the U.S. facility.
Yeah, approximately. I think that's what it comes to. I think our contribution broadly is about, let's say, $125-$130 per ton. 80,000 ton is about $10 million.
Thank you. The part about the European part, what has exactly led to this contraction in demand in terms of the Western Europe, which you are articulating to earlier reply, and how are things going to shape up in terms of this demand is permanently lost, or what is the nature of this contraction in demand, if you could explain?
I think most of the consumption industries are in stress there, and I think this is, in our view, if the current energy environment, if the current European environment continues, it is changing. You could say in the medium term it is lost. So effectively, I think the European, I don't want to use the word, but European supply has to rationalize itself.
Okay, so they're just like the Solvay part, we will be seeing further rationalization of capacity going ahead to even the market, to balance the market.
I see many of the capacities not being able to survive with the current pricing and demand environment. So I think it is going to be challenging for them. So there will be certainly a rationalization, but I can't speak for the industry. I can only see the numbers are headed there.
Right. And then next question is pertaining to the solar demand that is expected domestically in the country, for our country, India. So what are we currently anticipating, and what are the pillars in terms of the solar lines that are envisaged to be set up in, say, 2-3 years down the line, and the incremental demand in terms of million metric tons that is expected out of this solar initiative taken by the government of India?
So I think if you don't project too long, you just say what is the demand, incremental demand is going to come on stream on the announced plan and the lines which are currently underbuilt and will be operational in about 18 months or 24 months, it's about 250,000 tons. 250,000 tons.
250,000 tons.
And in China, the lithium plus solar demand is about 2. Somebody had asked it before, it's about 2.75 million tons.
So here it is 250,000 tons you are mentioning.
In India, solar demand on the basis of announced projects which are under implementation, which should get commissioned in the next 24 months, is about, in our estimation, is about 200,000 to 250,000 tons, about 250,000 tons.
Oh, okay. Right. So this unabated import, which is routing from Turkey, will create more price distortion when the prices will be trending, will remain lower for a longer period of time. This should be a better understanding going ahead.
Yeah, I won't comment about pricing, but all I can say is that I think if you really say on an overall basis, if the European rationalization of capacity gathers pace, I think it would be shorter. It will depend fundamentally arising out of that, because that's where the material will get absorbed, so we have to just wait for that those processes to continue during the year.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we'd like to remind participants to press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Santosh Keshri from Keshri Finance. Please go ahead.
Thank you for giving me an opportunity, but my questions are already answered. So yeah, I can pass it on to someone else.
Sure. Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Sumant Kumar from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. You talked about the slowdown in lithium demand, and we have seen a slowdown of EV sales in developed countries. So the way we are talking about lithium is going to have a more contribution in glass in the battery side in the sort of uses of soda ash. So do you think the near term or maybe mid term challenges of slowdown in EV not because of slow because of current scenario or there is a structural changes?
So you see the projects which are already commissioned, they will continue to get run at whatever capacity they need to run because they are fully on stream. So we don't see a reduction in demand because these are continuous process plants. And the current pricing of lithium, I think new capacities coming on stream, they will find it challenging because the return environment will be subdued for some time. So they may just postpone, but we think this is a long-term trend. We really don't believe it is it is a permanent situation.
Okay. Any alternate commodity which is going to replace lithium or some changes happening in the market?
See, for mobility application today, for passenger vehicles or light commercial vehicles and light vehicles, the lithium is the best solution. We know for commercial segments, heavy truck segments, hydrogen is the solution. And for stationary, there are many solutions, including sodium. And China has started to see some sodium chemistry come on stream. But these are in early stages.
Okay. And last, what is the sustainable EBITDA per ton for U.S. business we can see going forward? Per ton and starts to $100. So what is the sustainable EBITDA per ton in this current scenario for U.S. business?
Yeah, EBITDA figure, I think we have we usually should be delivering anywhere around $35 or $40. And if times are good, it will be higher. If times are bad, it will trend down from there. I mean, we've always maintained the U.S. business should deliver an EBITDA of about $100 million with the current capacity. So either it will be a little lower or a little higher, depending on if the market environment is very positive, it will deliver very high. But the range around which we tend to examine the U.S. operation is around that much.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Ankur Periwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Just a clarification. For the U.S. business, especially domestic, you did mention that there are quarterly contracts there, while the balance export business is largely on spot, as I understand. Typically, we take a repricing of these contracts in December or maybe, you know, in the month of January. Clarification here, whether the repricing has already happened or probably we'll see another repricing happening this quarter, which is January onwards.
So U.S. domestic is annual. It runs for the calendar year, which is starting Jan to December, and the pricing has already happened. And what I mentioned was the average rate within U.S. is almost stable. Minor changes here or there. And if you adjust for energy and all of the benefits the unit is going to have, all of the changes, I think they will have a total margin. It is in exports, which I mentioned, that the current quarter, the coming quarter is likely to see a $100 erosion. But going forward, it depends on quarterly movements, which we have to wait and watch in the market.
Okay, sure. And we have lined up, you know, our capacity expansion in U.S. as well. Any change in the timeline, sir? You know, I think we have mentioned earlier on 1.5 years for those capacity to come up. But given the macro, any changes there?
No, I think, let me just explain overall capacity expansion. In India, I think the power plant is already commissioned and it is already delivering steam and power to the system. So the soda ash should be finished by May of this year. So those volumes, additional volumes will come. and salt also we expect additional volume. Overall, we expect about these capacities during the year would yield incremental numbers for the next fiscal year. And in India, we have started the detailed engineering and examining of another 300,000 tons, which the work will commence shortly. In US, similarly, the basic engineering has, in India, the basic engineering is complete for the next stage. We are going to go through detailed engineering. In US, the basic engineering work has commenced for the 400,000 tons. And in Kenya, the detailed engineering will also commence for their 200,000 tons. So the million tons, two sites, the detailed engineering will be commencing now that we have the support of the board. And US has just moved forward with the basic engineering.
Okay, great, sir. Thank you and all the best. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit Nagraj from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible, sir?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you. So first question, you mentioned that there have been demand side challenges. How has been the capacity utilization across different geographies? And is there any issue in terms of excess inventories in the global system for soda ash? Thank you.
So there is inventory in pockets, so I'm not going to say where exactly it is, but I think if you see the capacity utilization of the industry as a whole, it is somewhere close to 90% utilization.
That's, I mean, aggregate all across the geographies we are considering, right?
Correct.
And the second question in terms of different region-wise demand challenges. So are there any specific challenges in certain regions that the user segment demand is getting hampered? Any things from
so I mentioned in terms of demand side, the challenge is mainly in Western Europe and what we call as Europe. I think that's where the demand challenge is the highest. The rest of the world, a demand is either flat or the sentiment is flat. I mean, it is we are probably at the bottom end of the curve everywhere. It's in Europe we need to be more watchful.
Sure. That's all from my side. Thank you and best of luck.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhijit Akela from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the follow-up. Two questions from me. One is just to clarify the U.S. export price erosion that we are into about $100. The reference point for that or the base is basically the third quarter, the quarter that's just gone by, or we are referring to, last financial year as a whole or something?
No, this is referencing what you would have seen in the previous year, the fourth quarter.
Okay. Understood. Got it. And the other thing was just, given the fact that U.S. domestic prices, contract prices seem to have corrected far less than export prices are, is that because basically the year ago period exports were at a significant premium versus the domestic market and now that gap is normalizing? Is that how we should read it?
Yeah, you could say that. I think last year the export numbers were at a premium, but this year they are at a discount. Going forward.
Okay. Understood. Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Vivek Rajamani from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you so much for the follow-up. Just two small clarifications. Just on Europe, when you mentioned Europe is also seeing $100 per ton erosion compared to last year, this would be across the board, or does Europe also have a concept of contracted and spot?
I did mention that UK, our business, will see erosion of 100 pounds broadly.
Sorry, 100 pounds. So that would be across the board, across all the volumes. Would that be fair?
Across the UK business and the US business would be, US export will be 100.
Got it, sir. And just a second clarification was, you know, in the presentation you've given a figure of 2,000 crores of capex F24 to F27. I just wanted to double check if this also includes the expansions that are coming up in India, US, and Kenya.
This is mainly India, which has been cleared. The US is going through basic engineering. We will come back to you with those numbers shortly. And Kenya, we have mentioned it is a capex of about 20 or 25 million, but we will come back again because the detailed engineering is underway. This number is reflective of India, which we have a really good handle.
Sure, sir. Got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of S. Ramesh from Nirmal Bang Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so in terms of follow-up, if you look at your future expansion, once the detail engineering is complete, when do you expect to incur the capex? Will it be from FY26 or will it start from FY25 second half? Any timeline you can give on how you will approach the spend?
See, I would say, given the experience of the team, once it is finished, we expect the execution time of either 24 to 30 months, broadly.
Okay. And the second thing is, you have booked some savings in the power and fuel cost in the India business. So, is that run rate which you see in third quarter likely to sustain in the fourth quarter and can it sustain for FY25 given the current cost structure for your coal imports?
This is, you're referring to consolidated?
No, the standalone, India power and fuel.
Yeah, India, I think we more or less would be having the same run rate because our contracts are more or less
many quotes.
Yeah.
Okay, just one last thought. On the UK specialty salt, this pharma salt and other specialty salt, any indication you can give in terms of the volumes and the kind of pricing or delta and margins you can expect, and when you can expect to see that in the UK P&L?
The UK salt, pharma is under commissioning or close to getting commissioned fully. We expect the UK salt volumes, which used to be around 75,000 odd ton, probably will creep up to 80,000-85,000
tons. Okay, this is per annum?
No, I'm talking per quarter.
Per quarter, okay. There's a 10,000 ton per quarter. Okay. Thank you very much and all the best.
So, part of it will be pharma, part of it will get sold as technical because we have to develop the market. So, okay. The pricing will come back to you accurately maybe in the next call.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ramana Murthy Malla from Ramana Murthy and Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity and good presentation. A lot of my issues were clarified. I have two points to ask. One is this consumer-related business of Tata Chemicals has been moved to Tata Consumers. Now, what is left with subsidiaries, etc. are there? Are there any plans to consolidate the domestic operations, meaning subsidiaries merging with the Tata Chemicals also as a part of cost rationalization? Second question is, Rallis India remained as a small compared to competition. So are there any plans to expand Rallis as an individual company, or are any plans to merge with Tata Chemicals to make a slightly bigger company? Because part of business has already moved to consumer related to Tata Consumer. So therefore, are there any plans to further consolidation the Tata Chemicals? That's what is my question. This will help the company to grow and reduce the costs.
Yeah, so on the any listed or unlisted subsidiary, I think the board takes a call from time to time. As far as Rallis is concerned, our intention is to support the management to grow their business, and we'll continue to support Rallis to achieve its true potential. That's all I can comment sitting on the board of that company.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Bhavin Soni from Anand Rathi. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi, thanks for the opportunity, sir. Just needed to a clarification on the capacity utilization figure that we had mentioned above. If you can just repeat it.
I think broadly, they tend to be closer to 90%. I think whether it was 89 or 88, or we expect by the year finishes will be close to that number. And next year also we expect a similar sort of a number.
And this is on a hold like each and every geo combined basis, right?
This is on a global basis.
Okay, okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Riya Mehta from Equitas Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity again. My first question is in regards to the current expansion. We are doing around 1.85 lakh metric tons in India for soda ash by H2 FY24, and over and above that we are planning for another 300,000 tons. Is my understanding right?
No, in terms of the expansion, what we are doing is close to 250,000 or 230,000 tons, and we will be
for the current year. Overall,
so it is basically 250,000 tons and additional stream of about 300,000 tons, which is under planning. This is under execution.
Correct. So by H2 FY24, we will be around that. We are currently at 12, and that would be to 15.5.
We'll be slightly upward of 1 million tons.
We are 11 lakh ton, right now?
We are at about
8 lakh 15 now.
0.85 or so effective utilization capacity. I think it will go to a million.
By H2 FY24.
That's correct, yes.
Got it. And are we planning any further price erosion in India business, since the demand is like in low single digits and we are planning for expansion as well?
No, I told already that the margin is expected to be maintained.
Thank you. We have a next question from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor and Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. So when we look at the power and fuel line item on a Q1Q basis, that has gone up from 650 to 700 crore. Is this factoring in the US shutdown? What explains this increase?
Sorry, the...
Sir, I'm looking at the power and fuel line item on a Q1Q basis. It has gone up by 50 crores.
Yeah, correct.
So, if you could explain this in increase, sir, what are the factors that are attributed to it?
I think this is just terms of the gas pricing and the oil consumption in Makari, and some bit of those and energy costs in UK put together, which is where I think the hedging of these commodities have come off, and now they are paying the full market price.
Okay, so this will be the run rate going ahead also, keeping the capacity utilization levels at the current level?
I think so. I think broadly we should track in that range between 650 and 700.
Thank you. We have a next question from the line of Saurabh Jain from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the follow-up. One clarification that there was a disruption that you mentioned in the U.S. business for Q3. Are all the disruptions sorted in the fourth quarter, and would it be a more normalized quarter from volume's point of view?
The only thing which we are clear is that our shutdown got extended by about three or four days more than what we planned, which was accounting for 50% of the lost volume. The balance 50 has been because of the rail car shortages. We are working with Union Pacific and other logistics service providers to improve. So that's always a challenge, because it is not fully within our control, but we are hopeful it will not. They've also done the needful to sort of support the industry.
Okay. And also, can you give some comments around how the headwinds in the bicar business, if at all, in terms of demand absorption and also how is the profitability, how does it look like in the bicarb business? Some comments on that side will be helpful.
No, in bicarb and in salt, we are not seeing any such challenges. It is mainly the soda ash.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Rohit Nagraj from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up. So the KFC last year, China has coming out with capacity in Inner Mongolia, and they have further plans to expand the capacity next year as well. So will that reflect in terms of benign price environment in 2024 and 2025? So any color on the same? Thank you.
As I mentioned, even in the last quarter, I think we are actually focused on what's going to unfold in Europe. And we remain focused on that because the challenged part of the world is actually Western Europe. And hopefully, if the issues are addressed there, the rest of the world probably should rationalize.
Sure. So second question is in terms of the lithium battery space. I think earlier, a couple of years ago, we had indicated that we will be putting up a lithium battery recycling plant. Any progress on that front? And beyond that, do we have any other area which we are looking at from a EV battery space, except for supplying the soda ash from the lithium carbonate manufacturing perspective? Thank you.
Yeah, we are engaged with our group company Agartas, and as I said, as and when we have any finalized plan, we'll come back.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take that as the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you.
Thank you. So I just wanted to say that we did face a fairly challenging quarter this quarter. And most of the challenges have been met positively by the management team, but we remain focused on our long-term strategy. We think while the short-term challenges remain, the long-term future of all the parts of our businesses are positive. So our growth plans are continuing apace as planned before. Fairly, I just want to say that even though we know that the next few quarters will be challenging, we will continue to focus on what we can control, which is our customer engagement, fixed cost and cost competitiveness, and pay down of debt. At the same time, remain focused on long-term. Thank you.
On behalf of Tata Chemicals Limited, that concludes the conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.